Welcome to Challenge Accepted. I'm your host, Stephanie Lucas, a marriage and family therapist by trade and mom to a daughter with hearing loss. I'm creating a space for parents and caregivers of special needs families to find support, validation, and acceptance by sharing stories of a broad range of families with unique challenges. While this isn't therapy and does not replace the advice of a medical provider, we'll dive into the tougher parts of parenting together and join a team of support from others who get it. This next half hour is about you, your experiences, your emotions, and being allowed to take up space as a parent and human being. So hands in, ears on, hearts open, team, this is Challenge Accepted. Dwayne and Becky joined me today to talk about their experiences as a family with Treacher-Collins syndrome. TCS is a rare genetic disorder that affects facial structure and hearing. Dwayne was born with TCS, as was their youngest daughter. They share their experience of becoming parents, the differences between growing up with TCS then and now, and the emotions they've encountered along the way. They share their belief in the power of story and the process of grief and finding balance. Becky has built a thriving Etsy shop for children and adults who wear bone-anchored hearing aids, called Bajas, at The Baja Boutique on Etsy, and also blogs at thebajamama.com. That's B-A-H-A, mama.com. She is also in process of publishing a book featuring her daughter's story, Asha's Little Ears, which is expected at the end of the year. Dwayne and Becky were featured on the Born Different show on YouTube and are launching Our Wonder Family podcast, sharing their family stories in hopes to inspire and encourage families to thrive in spite of the challenges life may bring. Take a listen as they share some of their story with us today. All right. Thanks for joining me today. This is Becky and Dwayne. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for having us, Stephanie. We're excited to share some stories.
Yeah. So start by telling me a little bit about your family and kind of what your story is.
Sure. So a little bit about my family, and I'm sure Becky will have plenty to add to it, is we're Dwayne and Becky, right, in the morning, if you've ever watched that Troy and Abed in the morning.
Absolutely.
And so we're Dwayne and Becky in the morning, and we have two little girls, with their 7 and 5 currently. And of course, our oldest does not have Treacher-Collins syndrome, while our youngest did get Treacher-Collins syndrome. And we discovered that while in the womb. And also kind of knew was a plausibility, being that I also have Treacher-Collins syndrome. And the way that affected me personally was I have hard of hearing. I don't have cheekbones. I don't have ears. I was born with what's called rosebud or pygmy ears. It's just little nubs of cartilage versus the normal amount of cartilage. And so I had a surgery when I was 15 and got prosthetics, which is great for holding the eyeglasses up, but it's also just great in terms of practical look. And so it's a little bit about our family. In many ways, I feel like we're just another normal family. We just have some unique things to take care of, like hearing aid batteries. Don't forget to get the hearing aid batteries at the store. And annoyingly, we have two different types of hearing aids between my youngest, Ariasha, and I. And that means two different hearing aid batteries. And you have to think about these nuanced, annoying little details that I guess aren't quite normal. So I guess we like to say we're wonderfully different.
When we got married, Dwayne gave me batteries. Like, keep these in your purse. Keep these in the car. The kids, put these in your diaper bag. So it's like, I have batteries everywhere.
Yeah, you're just prepared.
It's normal to me. This is my whole life. Batteries, ears. Got to take myself apart to go in the pool. A lot of other people find it quite fascinating and interesting. And so it is kind of that funny, like, I don't understand. Is this not normal?
Don't take your ears off.
Is there anything, Becky, in that story that you feel like was unique for you as the non-Treacher-Collins participant in the family?
I was kind of unaware of the world of special needs, even though my older sister was in a wheelchair. Like, to me, she was normal. She was just in a wheelchair. And then same with Dwayne. It's like, when I met him, it's like, he doesn't have cheekbones, like, whatever. So it really wasn't until our daughter was born. And then we started getting you know, all the speech therapy and all these people inviting us to all these special needs things. I'm like, why are you inviting us to this? Like, we're normal. We just don't have cheekbones and don't have hearing aids. And it's like, oh, okay, welcome. Apparently we do belong in this, this world.
Yeah, that's definitely, I think, thematic with a lot of the families that I talk to, is that being different always doesn't always feel different.
Yeah.
You're kind of used to it every day and it doesn't feel different.
Different enough.
Yeah. Not different like that.
Yeah. Different.
For sure. Well, I know one of the questions we had talked about before is that you all weren't as surprised maybe to learn that your youngest had Treacher Collins, and that often families are totally caught off guard when they have a kiddo who has a disability or a difference. What was that experience like for you, knowing that it was a possibility and then finding out that it was happening?
Sure. So I kind of start, but I know Becky has lots to share. For me, it was kind of always the way they told me it, which I know genetically speaking, it's not necessarily a 50-50, but I always heard, right, you have a 50-50% chance of passing on your genetics. A drastic oversimplification of how genetics works, but that makes it understandable, right? For the mathematical impaired like me, it's like, okay, this could happen if we have one kid. Okay, we did 50%, second kid, all the more likely, although it's, you know, 50-50 every time, just like rolling dice. You can still roll six over and over and over and over. So that was kind of always a knowledgeable, like, it could happen. Now, that being said, is my experience with Treacher Collins. And so the severity that I have it, they say I'm moderate and not mild, which I found surprising. Because I was like, I just don't have ears. I'm a little hard of hearing. I need eyeglasses, no cheekbones, right? This, right, kind of that I'm different, but not that different kind of statement. But this is my normal. It probably won't be that bad. I've had a great life. And so there was an aspect of me on my side. It was like, either way, I knew I wanted kids, right? That wasn't so much of an if and or but. I knew I wanted to do that. I wanted to leap into that. I knew it was just part of the risk of the fact that I have a genetic disorder that can be and most likely would be passed on. That being said, it was still kind of a surprise. Becky and I come from a faith background. And so in the sense of our faith, there was just, you know, Joe Dispenza style, like put your mindset towards it, put your faith into it, that you pray and you believe. And that sense of hope and belief is really powerful, right? It pushes you through the fear or any of the scaredness. And so we had staked a lot of belief as we're going to move forward as if we're not going to pass on a genetic condition. So there was an element that was like, you know, we're going along, we have our first. So there is sort of this fooled you aspect of like, you have this first one, we didn't even necessarily try for another kid, but another kid, okay, let's go forward, right? Another normal kid, just like last time.
Beat the odds, feeling
like, well, we got one last time that was without.
Well, I think we didn't even think about it with the second kid.
Well, like with the first one, we didn't plan on it.
Right, but with the first one, like when we had the ultrasound, we're like, does she have ears? Does she have cheekbones? And the doctor's like, yeah, and fingers and toes. We're like, no. Like, does she have ears? Like, actually, look, please.
This is a real question.
Yeah. But with the second kid, it was like not even in our radar. It was just like, been there, done that. We're just going through life. And so then it was a shock. And we, you know, we had the ultrasound. We had pictures of her face that looked not normal. Mm-hmm. But somehow we didn't even see it. Yeah. Until our midwife called and was like, so the ultrasound tech and doctors and everyone are actually concerned that she might have Treacher Collins syndrome. And we're like, oh, and now that you mention it, pretty obvious. Like,
oh, yeah. A couple risk factors.
Right. It's like, I mean, I could see it in the ultrasound picture. Like as soon as she said it, it was like, oh yeah, yeah. I can see like dark spots where she's, you know, doesn't have cheekbones and the small lower jaw and stuff, but somehow we didn't see it until then. And we weren't looking for it the second time around because I guess we were just, you know, on the go.
Yeah. And speaking of the midwife, we had built up quite the romance of having not a home birth, but it was in a birth center. So it was like a home birth, but in a very posh Airbnb type environment. So there's this romance of how our second child was going to be born and how it was going to be so, well, you live in that region, so very earthy, down to earth, right? This super midwife experience, no hospitals, no beeps and boops. And so there was this devastation to the romance, just got blasted to pieces. Now we got to travel to Portland.
We're like, can we at least have her locally? And they're like, no, you need to drive 5 hours to Portland. We're like, can we compromise at all? No. Okay.
Great.
So it was a massive disappointment.
I mean, our first baby was in a hospital. So it's like, yes, we've done the hospital thing. We just wanted to do the crunchy thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That was an interesting point both of you made. I think that there's often grief when we find out, right? And I wondered if that was different for you all, since you kind of knew in the back of your mind, but it sounds like you did have that experience of, oh gosh, this is real, right? It didn't quite feel real until it was happening.
And with everything, like throughout her birth and everything, like everything went really well. And, you know, after she was diagnosed, she realized, you know, before she was born, that Treacher-Collins syndrome is on a spectrum and Dwayne is mild in our opinion. So we're like, oh goodness, this could be really challenging. We don't know, you know, how bad it could be. So we were like prepared for the worst case scenario. So throughout everything, we were just always really thankful that everything was not as bad as it could be. And I think that was really helpful to be thankful and stuff. But then there was, I think when she was like 6 or so months old, that I was like, oh, I actually need to like stop and grieve because this still isn't easy. Mm-hmm. We actually went out to Chipotle and I was feeding her with her special funky bottle for babies who have cleft palate, and a lady came over and was like, can I pray for you, you know? And we're like, oh yeah, she's cleft palate, you know. We're like, it's no big deal, because as far as Treacher-Collins syndrome goes, she really just had cleft palate. Like, this is a normal problem, people understand, you know. Right. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm a speech therapist, you guys have a long road ahead of you. And we're like, comparatively no, but it was like, oh, it's kind of like a reality check of like, oh yeah, even cleft palate is a long road ahead of you. Okay.
Yeah, I wonder, how has that road differed for your kiddo versus Dwayne's experience of growing up in a much earlier scientific generation, we'll say. Not that much earlier, but.
Yeah, I know. You know, for me, obviously it was my normal, but when my mom was with us, when we had Ariasha, she was, you know, there to support us, had flown out from Colorado to be there when the kid was born.
To take care of big sister.
Yeah, take care of big sister, right? Be the helper. We had no idea, you know, is she going to get whisked away or can we keep the kid? And right, there's just all these unknowns at birth. And so it was great to have my mom. And so we got into maybe day one and maybe not even. My mom just breaks down in tears and it's just, you look at what you have. And I never had any of this. My mom didn't know anybody and I didn't meet anybody with Treacher-Collins or in this world of a certain set of special needs until I was,
daughter was born.
Until after my daughter was born. I didn't know anybody else
then
with
Treacher-Collins
syndrome. Yeah, right. Oh, good point. She's the first. And so kind of that world of like, my mom just really broke down. She's like, I felt so alone. I didn't know who to turn to. No one knew exactly how to help me, even though where she lives, the school of deaf and blind is near, but that's like, okay, deaf and blind, but what about the cheekbones and the small jaw and you know, the breathing stuff and concerns, where the pathway is often small and concerning with Treacher-Collins syndrome. And thankfully I've never had an issue, but it was still a concern for my parents constantly. And I didn't know how hard that was and how alone they felt. And comparatively, it's like, oh, well, Facebook, and pop on Facebook and we find people who were going through this on Facebook. And we quickly met other people not too far south. And just the community, even staying in a Ronald McDonald House and being in NICU, we felt like there was a community of people around us in the moment. And so we made close friends with one of the other families in the NICU.
Yeah.
Just for that period of time. And it was a great relief, you know, sit down and have dinner. Oh, what are you going through? Right. Have that, what would you call it? Resonance. Yeah.
Yeah. That camaraderie of we're all going through something hard, even if it's a little different. That's what we're doing on the podcast. I love it.
It is. It's an incredible space that we can just share these stories. And, you know, that's part of just what I do, is just, we've got to get stories out there. And that's part of my life, because That sense of connection through story is an inspiration to us all. And so, yeah, I'm always excited.
Absolutely. And actually, I think we have an advantage over other families because our daughter has Dwayne to look up to. So we haven't needed to worry about, like, is she going to feel alone or different? Because it's like, she looks just like Dada. And then our other daughter is jealous because they both have hearing aids and she doesn't. And she thinks hearing aids are cool for some reason. And then, yeah, younger daughter has asked me why I don't have hearing aids and is trying to convince me that I need them. Like, I can hear just fine, honey. Like, someday we'll learn how ears work versus how hearing aids work. But she's like, what do you mean? Like, when I wake up in the morning, I can't hear anything to put my hearing aids on. Like, have you tried these? Life-changing, Mom, put them on.
Right. I remember worrying about, you know, when your daughter has devices and gets older and goes to school, or she's going to get made fun of. And I read something in one of the online blogs of, like, do you know these things are Bluetooth? Like, all of the teenagers are totally jealous. They have Bluetooth right on their ear all day long. And I was like, what a world we live in where, you know, now we're jealous of the hearing aids, right?
Yeah, it is rather convenient. I mean, Bluetooth, that's how I'm hearing everybody right now. And it's rather convenient. I can quickly tune anything out I don't want to tune out. I can hear conversations on the computer through the phone direct to my head. I don't have to put anything in my ears. And it's, yeah, I think there is an aspect of technology is cool now. And so the hearing aids, especially as I would imagine for teenagers, our daughter doesn't use those features yet because she's not quite of age and we don't hand her a device. Sure. But yeah, I can imagine as she grows up, that will be a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. I know, Becky, you mentioned a little bit in prep about the community aspect for you and how that has really helped you through those hard moments. Is there anything unique kind of to your experience of finding those ways to get through the hard days that you feel is helpful?
I would say community-wise, Facebook is amazing because, like Dwayne said, he and his mom did not have that growing up. And now it's, you know, a whole massive group of hundreds of people around the world that you're like, hey, I have a question. Let me bounce that idea off of you. And so it's really incredible to be able to connect with people through that. Number one reason to have Facebook, to connect with other people who are going through the same stuff you are, especially when there's not anyone locally. But then, like, as far as like coping strategies and stuff, in the beginning, it was definitely like one day at a time, you know, just take the next step. You know, we watch Disney movies because we have kids. So like Frozen 2, the song, Do the Next Right Thing, mm-hmm. or I think it's Meet the Robinsons. I don't even remember what that movie's about. I just remember like, keep moving forward. It's kind of like always having those two things, like, okay, just what's the next step? What do I need to do today? You know, we were planning for cleft palate surgery. It's like, don't talk to me about anything else. And it was right before Christmas. We're like, we can't even talk about Christmas. We need to do the surgery. And then we can talk about Christmas. And then also just kind of giving myself the grace to adapt to the learning curve. Kind of like when you're getting a new job, like at first it's really overwhelming, but all your coworkers seem to have it under control. So it's kind of like, okay, once I get this down and figure this out, get the routine, get the rhythm, you're like, okay, I know what I'm doing now. Like, now it's easy. Now it's flowing smoothly. Yeah, another thought I had was right before Ariasha's cleft palate surgery, I saw a card that said, you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice that you have. So even just seeing that and being like, hey, someone took the time to make this card. I bet there's other people who need to hear that. And I needed to hear that. Just realizing like, hey, again, there's this whole Facebook group of cleft palate moms that we've done this and they're all okay. They made it through. And even, you know, my own mom with my older sister, you know, they had some pretty serious health challenges, like life and death stuff. And it's like, they made it. We're all okay. Yeah. But on the flip side, now that my daughter's 5 and a half, like I'm still holding on to like, you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice that you have. And I'm realizing like, I don't need to be strong right now. There's no, you know, like I'm working hard to hold everything together. And like, oh, if I let go, it doesn't fall apart. Like, cool. Like, I can just chill out and relax now.
Yeah. So. That's really nice to know that's possible. And in the contrast to that zoned in cleft palate surgery experience of like, this is our whole world. And are we ever going to get to the other side?
Yep. And then realizing like, hey, I could hold on and be strong for forever, or I can relax, be strong when you need to be strong and let yourself grieve when you need to grieve and chill out and relax when you don't need to hold everything together.
Yeah. Was it hard to learn to relax?
I just figured this out like 2 weeks ago. So. I'm still like, oh, I can relax. Today it's great. So I'm still learning.
Love it.
Yeah, I think it's always a journey, right? Learning to let go, especially when you're not in control. Like in a lot of instances, like it's like, okay, this is given to you. There's nothing I can do other than drive to the hospital today, right? That next step. There's nothing I can do to help you to hear. Although that was a bit of a surprise too, because she passed her hearing test when she was born and not when she got her cleft palate surgery. And so it's just kind of like, oh, okay, one step at a time. And I think there is that, like, for me, it was, hey, I've done this before. I can, if I did it right. And so there's that little bit of backing, like I have a little bit of experience to lean on it, and that, and having experience to lean on, which is amazing about the Facebook community and finding other people who've just been through something even similar. It doesn't even have to be the exact same thing. It really just gives, okay, you've been through this. I can call you when I'm scared, or I can message you when I'm scared. And I felt like I've had that, as well as I can call my parents. Did you go through this? Did this happen to you? What was that like? How did you respond when somebody said, you know, something weird? Just having that sense of somebody to reach out to. And then just, yeah, letting go, learning to let go over and over and over. And I think that's just a life skill. I have to experience that with work. It seems like every day. So,
Yeah. And I think, Duane, you made a really good point, and I'm curious about this, is one of the things that's come up thematically as I'm interviewing families is that sometimes dads are left behind when there's especially high needs medical stuff or in utero stuff, that the moms are the ones that have time to go to the appointments, or they have to be at the appointment because the kid's with them. And sometimes medical providers either aren't checking in with dads, or, you know, mom only can relay so much of the information that goes on in a medical appointment. Did you have that experience? Was it different for you since you have Treacher Collins? What was that like?
I think it is a bit different because I, you know, they could say stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, I know what they're talking about. Right. So I could key in really fast. So in part, and then of course we had to drive 5 hours to several appointments. And so I wasn't just going to let
big Becky family go. Event,
big family event. And so I participated as much as I could. And that was a bit of an intentional, right? You really, it's hard as a dad, right? Because I was working, I had to grab my laptop. I was lucky because I could grab my laptop and take work with me. And so that was a bit of a difference. That's more common now. And so I could, you know, jump out of the chair in the hospital and go, okay, let's do this appointment. But there is the aspect of like over my head, especially the utero and all that stuff. It's like, I'm here, but I don't know what's going on. And so I think there is an aspect of we're along for the ride. And for me, I think that was a little more normal because that's my life. I'm along for the ride as a kid, you know, dealing with these things. Well, guess I'm along for the ride, even though it's happening to me and I'm the one getting the surgery or I'm the one going to the appointment. It's sort of, you know, mom and dad who get talked to. Okay. He's going to need this. He's going to need this. And talking to Becky, she's going to need this. For me, I really had to, if I wanted to interject, intentionally grab it and, oh, you mean like, and really participate intentionally. That was something I've never really thought about, but it takes a measure of intentionality and forcing the availability into my schedule. I, you know, as a man, it's a lot easier to just be at work, right? That's just what we do. Generally speaking. And so it was a little hard sometimes, like, okay, I'm not working right now. Sorry, clients, but family first, and choosing to do it.
I'll tend to defer to you. Like if we're both at an appointment where I'm like, he has experience with this. Although every once in a while, like I've taken her to an appointment that maybe he's not there or something. And I'll come back and be like, Duane, did you know this? And he's like, oh, I didn't know that, like about myself. Like I knew something you didn't know.
Sometimes the medical provider is like, well, they probably already know this. He's got it, right? And they're not. I love that. Is there anything you would say to maybe parents who are fresh into a similar situation or medical providers who are trying to learn how to better support a family that looks like yours in terms of how to best cope?
I think be patient with yourself, especially at first. Like, the one day at a time season, but you can also know that this will pass and you will make it through and life will get easier and the rhythm Take time to grieve. Rest when you need to rest.
Yeah, I think something to that effect of making time to grieve. Becky, you always said this great line once we figured out, we need to grieve, was it may not have been as bad, right? Comparatively, we tend to compare, it's not as bad as, but that then defers your need to grieve. I was like, it's still as bad as it is now. And it's something you've never been through. Give yourself space to grieve, feel, and move through those emotions. Otherwise, you'll be stuck dealing with those years later. And I think something that really helped me was having some leadership development background. Something that always stuck with me that one of my leaders when I was overseas in China, and just, you know, these interesting circumstances, like, always ask yourself, is there anything I can do that is in my control right now, or is it out of my control and I need to just go along for the ride? And just really accepting, like, I can only solve this one thing right now. I can only make this decision. I can only choose to react this way right now. And that always stuck with me, to let go or let be what I can't do anything about. I was like, okay, here I am. We're going to go. I'm angry that I have to drive to Portland right now, but here we go, right? And just accepting, like, I can't do a whole lot about this, so I might as well have a better attitude so my wife and kids don't hate me. And learning to just control what I control, which is often my own emotions, which are sometimes hard to realize they're there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that fix it mentality for dads is something that's been mentioned too, right? If you can't fix it, what do I do? But it sounds like you really leaned into that a little bit and were able to say, I'm there. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, very much so.
I love it. What inspires you about your kiddo? What have you learned from having her as your daughter?
I would say something that inspires me, which is probably true of any kid, but just when I see that sense of play, right? She's still free-spirited, right? She can go in and we love Lego in our family, but even if it's dolls, whatever it is, right? She goes into the character. That doll, she is that doll in that moment, right? And seeing that sense of storytelling, but it's also inspiring, even between both girls, of how they include their experience. Sometimes you overhear, oh yeah, you know, the deafness, or get your hearing aids.
Some days the dolls have hearing aids.
Yeah, some days all the dolls have hearing aids. And it's inspiring to see how naturally accepting the kids are. And generally, if anything, they're curious, but just really like how heartfelt, how accepting, and it doesn't matter, you know, what you've been through, what, you know, things are on your head that look like in little antennas, or color of your skin, any of it, right? Just seeing that just natural, like, I'm a kid, you're a kid, let's be friends. Like, there's just no inhibition, nothing stopping it. And I always love it, seeing that measure of carefree, everything's okay attitude in children in general. But I love it all the more when it's my own girls.
Yeah. Well, I think of the quote, like, though she's little, she is fierce. And she is a feisty little person. You tend to think, if big sister can do it, I can do it. Doesn't matter that she's smaller and younger, and like, our older daughter's big for her age, younger daughter's small for her age. There's a big gap there. We're like, oh goodness, please don't get hurt, child. But yeah, she's never like, oh, I'm little, I should not try this. She's like, I'm gonna do it. And also, like, when she's had like blood tests and stuff at the doctor's office, they usually compliment that she's braver than most grown men, not most women who've given birth, but braver than most men. Yeah, I mean, she had a blood test and didn't even cry. I think we got in the car and she's like, I don't want to go here ever again. Okay, I don't either. Another thing about her is I feel like she always sees everything as a challenge to be conquered. So like, as a toddler, she climbed out of her pack and play. So we got her a crib. So she climbed out of her crib. So we put a baby gate in the doorway and she climbed over that. And we're like, ah, child, like, just go to bed. Stop conquering everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, I don't know what to do. So we just put her on a mattress on the floor and left the door open. And we're like, go to bed. And she went to bed. She's like, I have nothing else to do. I guess I'll just sleep. Like, if I need mom and dad, I can just walk across the hall. There's nothing to do here. So like, oh, okay. Is that how you see life? So, yeah.
Yeah, the challenge is in front of her. She's going to conquer it.
Yep.
I love it. That's that truth of the, you don't know how strong you are until you're challenged too, is, you know, she was born with a challenge, but she's running at it full force, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your stories with me today. And I know that you all have a few projects in the works. So share with us about where you've been expressing your family story and where you hope to share it more.
Sure. So Becky's got her own little project that, of course, I'm deeply involved, but we've been working on the Our Wonder Family podcast, which you'd think as husband and wife, it'd be easy for us to just get together and talk into a microphone, but it is in the works, and we're hoping to release it here soon and kind of have this same kind of weekly dialogue, just sharing the stories. And of course, Becky's got her amazing little project that really started this all. And
which one?
Yeah,
which project?
The book.
Okay. Yeah. I'm working on a couple children's stories about a little girl who has hearing aids and children who have special needs. Which hopefully will be done by Christmas. I don't know. These things take a long time.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know when the words are exactly perfect and it's ready to be published?
Hard. That's awesome and exciting. And I know you have the Baja Mama shop where you have a kind of creative expression. I love that, you know, something that you can give to your daughter that helps her kind of feel more like her. And tell us a little bit about how that got started.
Yeah. So when our daughter got her hearing aids, Dwayne's hearing aid is on, it's a bone anchored hearing aid. So he has an abutment implant in his head that it just snaps onto. But children don't have a thick enough skull to have the surgery, so they have to wear the Baja on a headband. And the hearing aid company, insurance, all that stuff gives you one headband. So do you want black, brown?
That's super red. Ugly. Yeah.
And I don't like pink, so I'm like, blue, I guess? It's like hospital scrubs blue. It's ugly, yeah. And it's like $80. So you're like, okay, my kid's going to wear this ugly headband, and if I want a different color, it's $80 to get a different color. Especially girls, they need more color options. And in general, toddlers like feeding themselves and getting food everywhere. This headband's not going to last long.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually found, thanks to Facebook, like all the moms who are making their own headbands. I was kind of like, can someone just like make headbands for me? And they're like, it's really easy. Just do it yourself. I'm like, well, that's annoying. Like, you know, when your kid just got hearing aid, you're like, I'm in the middle of a learning curve right now. Now you're like, it's easy. Go make a headband. Like, okay, fine. So I figured it out. And I reached out to a local lady who makes like normal headbands. I was like, where do you get your elastic? And she was actually closing her business and selling all of her elastic at like wholesale plus discount. And I'm a sucker for sales. So I'm like, I'll take a lot of elastic. And then I was like, once I knew how to make them and stuff, I was like, okay, this is easy. And then I just started a business making and selling headbands. Cause like, if no one wants to make them and sell them to me, I'll just sell them to everyone else who doesn't want to make them. And at that point, I think Dwayne was running his own business and was always trying to like hire me. And I'm like, I don't understand entrepreneur stuff. I don't know. Just want to be a mom. So my thought was like, okay, it's a fun hobby. I'll try to run a business. I'll probably learn some stuff that could be useful if Dwayne ever wants to hire me. and it actually turned out to be a really successful business. So now I just work for myself.
Yeah, I love it. Well, any final thoughts or closing words you have for parents listening that you want to make sure you get in there before we wrap up for the day? Big smiles. That's what I see.
Big smiles. I wasn't ready for that one.
Story is powerful.
There you go. Yeah. I think your story is powerful. That really is, you know, I of course leverage story as a marketer, but we all love and latch onto story because story creates belief and hope. And so, you know, right? Rebellions are built on hope. That's something we can all latch onto is a good Star Wars story. And there is that aspect of your story and everyone's story, right? Is really a great way to connect with people's stories, let it be an inspiration to you and share your story. People need it.
Yeah, and you never know how your story might encourage or impact somebody else.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time. I love loved hearing more about your story and how, what your experience was, and hope sharing it with everybody else will be just as inspiring.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Wow, that was an amazing interview, and I really enjoyed being able to interview both parents about their experiences. I owe a huge thank you to the entire Zingali family. There were so many powerful moments. I loved when Becky talked about not knowing how strong you are until it's your only option, but also learning to choose rest and not be on all the time. I thought Dwayne's point was so powerful that he sometimes found himself without the ability to help or be in control, but that he was able to find purpose in choosing to be present, choosing his attitude, and how to react. I love that little Asha is able to look up to her dad, who really owns his experiences with TCS confidently, so much so that she recommends her hearing aids to mom. Before recording, I had wondered if Dwayne and Becky would express more mastery over the challenges facing them, given that they were ahead of the game in knowing about TCS. What they shared about the spectrum of case severity, having to go through cleft palate surgery, and keeping a hearing aid on a toddler really showed that even if we're familiar with the challenge, being a parent adds a whole new level of difficulty. But I think Becky said it best. It's like learning a new job. At first, it's totally overwhelming and a huge learning curve. But after a while, your normal feels just as normal as anybody else's.
Hey everyone! I'm so thankful you found this space for supporting yourself and your family's well-being. I wanted to let you know about a few other products I've created to help you in your journey. The first is a card game that I've played with kids in the therapy office a ton. It is designed to increase skills in emotional identification, theory of mind, and empathy, which I know can be really tough concepts to teach. Check it out at Why'd They Do That on Instagram or whytheydothatgame.com. The second is something new that I'm really excited about. I've designed a workshop to use interventions that I use a lot with mamas in the room to create a self-guided experience for moms who struggle with feeling like they can't get it right, are always failing at something, or can never measure up as a mom. It's a mindset reboot called Smotherhood Untangled, and I'll be launching on September 22nd, 2022. Hop on over to my Instagram or sign up for my emails to stay up to date and snag your spot.
Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I hope it was inspiring and encouraging for you and your journey. If you enjoyed it, I love it if you could share it with your friend, subscribe for future content, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help us grow our reach so others can join our community of support. If you would like to share your unique story with the Challenge Accepted community, feel free to reach out to me on social media, Stephanie Lucas MFT, on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for being a part of our team.